Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Paul does not specifically identify the enemies of the cross of Christ at Philippi. But there is some evidence he was speaking of teachers who were attempting to return to some parts of the law of Moses. Apparently, those men were Jewish Christians who did not want to forsake completely the law under which they had lived so many years. They wanted to keep some features of the law of Moses, such as circumcision, keeping the Sabbath, and perhaps others. Paul knew such teaching would seduce the children of God and turn them away from the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Even if we may not be able to tell exactly who the enemies of the cross of Christ were, we can know the final destiny of such men. These are Paul's inspired words about the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Philippians 3:19. Does Paul really mean it when he says that the enemies of the cross of Christ will be destroyed? Does the punishment fit the crime? When men reject the glorious gospel of Christ, they will be punished forever and ever. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians of those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He then added, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and be admired of all them who believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." 2 Thessalonians 1, 8-10. The Apostle Peter is no less explicit in speaking of the destiny of false teachers. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." 2 Peter 2:1. Among the churches of Galatia, there were some false teachers who were working to combine parts of the law of Moses with the gospel of Christ. Offhand, that may not seem to be a serious matter. After all, both covenants came from God Almighty. The law of Moses was at one time just as much the law of God as is the new covenant. But the old covenant was taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. Colossians 2:14-17. The Hebrew writer said concerning the two covenants, "He takes away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Hebrews 10:9-10. Paul was deeply disturbed that the Judaizing teachers had slipped into the churches of Galatia and had led some into apostasy. "I marvel," Paul wrote, "that you are so soon removed from Him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Galatians 1:6-9. The Greek word rendered pervert means to transform into something of the opposite character. Can you imagine the arrogance of men and women who desire to change what God has ordained? My friends, Christians are in the changing business. That is, we're seeking to convert men and women from their devotion to sin to faith in Jesus Christ and in obedience to His Word. But we have no right to alter what God commands men and women to do. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.